Hello and welcome to the EV Cafe Takeaway, that podcast focused on the zero emission future that we all hope for every week. As you all know, I am joined by one of the wonderful team of the EV Cafe, and that is John this week. John Curtis, welcome. How are you?
So, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I know. Set the bar far too high. But as always, John, we get joined by innovators, pioneers and collaborators from our industry. And this week, we have got a mighty man of charging, which is the man Andreas Blin from ChargePoint. Tell us a little bit, for those of you that don't know who you are and what you do, give us a brief snapshot of all of that.
Of course. Well, thank you very much for having me. I am in the EV world now for just over 6.5 years. Started in Austria, live in Salzburg, so welcome to my attic. You know, real men work on the slanted roof, and they have usually some kind of light over them. So I join you from Salzburg, Austria, where I work for ChargePoint. ChargePoint, of course, being the leading supplier for charging solutions, and we are an enabler. So just to everybody out there, we are not a CPO. We are never a CPO. We are an enabler. So we provide solutions ranging from mainly software, but also into hardware and to apps for people who want to offer EV charging. And as such, I've been in this industry now for just 6.5 years and have always been at the core of things, where things get really difficult, where things are really challenging. And that's what I do. We are, amongst our customers, are some of the largest CPOs in Europe, retailers, fuel and convenience companies, but also solution partners who serve with our technology, again, third parties for EV charging. And that's what I do all day long.
But so as I, just for the viewers at home, I entered the conversation between John and Andreas a little after they had begun. And I entered to the fact that, oh, no, I don't do electric. No, don't like electric. So I was mildly horrified. And but Andreas, tell us a little bit about what you actually were talking about there, because it tells us a little bit about what I perceived to be a slight entertainer that we have with us today.
So we were talking about guitars. So you can see behind John, there's a electric guitar peeking out, and I have my acoustic guitar here. And I was just referring to the fact that I have tried electric guitars. Actually, I found a Fender Stratocaster in the attic of my grandmother and restored it and then started playing it. But I really don't get along with electric guitars. So my nephew plays it now. He's in a band, and I stick to acoustic guitars. So electric driving since more than 5 years, electric guitaring, tried it every now and then, but came back to classic.
Yes, it is a great moment and well picked up, Paul. I'm fascinated, Andreas, as to your journey to get to ChargePoint. What sort of industries have you worked with in the past?
So, my journey to ChargePoint was a long one. So I'm by basic education, I went to boarding school in Vienna, learned a ton of languages, had to learn literature, Latin, all these kinds of stuff. Then went to a university where I studied plastics engineering. So I learned everything about how to do plastic bags and plastic crates and plastic thermoform stuff. And that brought me into the machinery industry. So I was selling machines for almost 20 years. The machines became bigger and bigger. And then I changed the industry just a little bit from plastic to cheese. So I went on and sold with my team the largest cheese-making machineries in the world. And then had to stop for personal reasons. And on the way to looking for a new job, pure serendipity, I was picked up by, at the time, Has to Be, started a job there, and since then have been working in e-mobility ever since. So long journey, many, many, many stations, and now I'm in e-mobility and love every day of it.
If you operate a fleet of cars or vans, you'll know electric is the future. Transitioning to EVs can appear daunting, but with Europcar, it's effortless. Our long-term EV rentals eliminate the upfront costs, contract commitments, and uncertainty. Instead, you'll get total flexibility, a wide choice of cars and vans, and Europcar's expert support. So, make the switch without the stress and experience Europe Karma. Search Europe Car Business.
One of the core things that you learned on your journey, because they're very different industries, very different roles. What are the key things that make up your approach to business?
So the thing is, I love complex stuff. Yeah. So from a product perspective, plastics is already quite complex. Cheese was a level above. And e-mobility is complex on a very different scale, because you simply have to understand what we're doing. And it took me almost 6 months on my desk in Rastatt, where I had no clue what this company was about. And my approach is to take big pieces of paper and start drawing what I'm doing in a graphic way until I finally get to the core. And once you have the core, nothing can happen to you. So I can come on to this podcast totally unprepared, because I am so convinced that I've understood the core of what we're doing and I've understood the core of the problems that we're facing. And any question I can deduct from that. And that's been my approach always. Find the core, understand it. And then, of course, you can also communicate it and start discussing with people. And that's just what I do when I get into a complex matter.
So right.
It's so fascinating. I guess we don't get very many... and I hope this isn't detrimental. Many salespeople. Now, I'm feeling a really very professional salesperson here. And by salesperson, what I mean by that is somebody that really gets to the crux of it, the core, as you've talked about, learns how to communicate that, and probably believes very much in what they sell. Because I think there's two things that came out of it. You mentioned, I now work every day and I love coming to work. You know, I love working in e-mobility. I'm very excited about that. You've obviously treated it very professionally, but now you love it. So I'd love to understand why you love your coming to work every day.
Well, in all of my jobs, I've always been selling very consultingly, I don't know what the English word is. I just had to always consult very much with the customer, because the decisions my customers made or make are crucial and can make or break their business. With selling something, the wrong thing to one of my customers, I can actually break their business. So when I sold machines, just to give you an idea, the machine had a price tag of 14 to 50 million euros. That's just the machine, and excluding everything that had to come with it. So we sold the entire factory. So such a decision, even for a large, in that case, film manufacturer, can be a huge problem if you're just not performing. Or you're just telling them to buy a machine that doesn't suit their business. So it's always have to think for the customer. And the same is what I do today. We sell the back-end software for charging companies. So this is more important. This is the most important software that they run. It's even more important than the hardware that they buy. Because you can change hardware. But if you look at our customers, they integrate into our software so in so many places. That ripping that out and replacing it, particularly when you are actually running an infrastructure with 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 ports and people are relying on your infrastructure, then you have to be very careful on what you actually tell people and what you sell people. And you can't fool these guys. If you try to, it always comes back to bite you.
Absolutely. So it sounds like you care.
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I mean, if you don't care, I mean, I have the deepest respect for people who sell stuff they don't care about. It's also an art. Yeah. I mean, so and not to say that they don't care, but selling like used cars or selling vacuum cleaners is an art. Yeah. People who care about it usually fare better than those who don't. But it's an art. But what I do, what my team does, and what we do for our customers, the big CPOs, the big MSPs, the big retailers who need e-mobility to come into the cleaner future that you're referencing before, that's also an art to sell, because you really have to go in and to understand what does the customer need and can we actually provide it? If we can't, you better tell the customer earlier than later.
I love you, Andreas. I absolutely love you. Here is a wonderful human being. I'm getting such a warm vibe from you. You are somebody who cares very much about people. And we're in a people business. I often say this to Paul, that we're not about selling big boxes of electricity or connectivity or all that stuff. We're about people, understanding them, their challenges, and bringing solutions to the table that can make their lives better. What you must be proud of the things you've achieved in your career. What are you most proud of?
There's a lot of things that I've been able to achieve. Yeah. I've been privileged to work with fantastic people in the past. I'm now working with a fantastic team, my particular team, as well as the entire ChargePoint team, lovely people. Very proud. One of the things I'm really proud of in my professional life is that I actually made the transition from what I did before to what I do now, which is software. So I did machinery, innovation in machinery. Very difficult, very long-standing. I mean, think of machine, 14 million. You have an idea to save 100,000 on the machine, but the risk is there that it doesn't work. Yeah, so how do you get this into this machine? It's virtually impossible. There are patentable ideas that I brought into machinery for 15 years ago. They still haven't been realized, yeah? And then I transitioned over through a very, very hard learning curve into software, where I have an idea. At the time and still today, I go to somebody in development and say, listen, why don't we do this that way around? Yeah. Somebody that starts coding, next day you've got a product, a week later it's on your website, 10 days later the first customer's using it, then it needs to be bug fixed, of course, as everything, but then it's out there. So innovation just happens so much faster. And that was tough. And until today, anybody who is interviewed to join my team, I tell them, listen, I want you to look me in the eye. You have to promise me that you're going to go through this valley of tears and you're going to come out on the other end, because until you understood what we're doing, it's going to take 2-3 months that you think you understood it, then 2 months where you have no clue. And then when you come out the other end, you'll be one of us and we'll be so glad to have you on the team.
Have you had somebody in your life who's influenced you to be this warm, caring, supportive human being that you are?
Oh, many people. I think very few men or people are made by just one or two people, but it's an influence of many. Yeah.
Has there been a major influence?
I had a very strict teacher in school who really taught us that knowing something, having it in your head, actually represents a value. Yeah. So that was really something. And then, of course, my parents, my father, with whom I lived in a house in the mountains in Styria when I went to university, was a huge influence. My wife, I've been married for almost half my life. I think it's this 13th of December, I'll be married for half my life on the day. And then my boss in my first job, who just showed me how to negotiate. And then I had a boss who I worked in machinery as well, who was a genius in finding ways out of deadlock conversations. You know, you're 12 people sitting around a negotiation table. You've been talking for 2 hours. You're not getting out of that deadlock. You're not getting out of that cul-de-sac. And he just always found a way to sneak out one corner. So it's been a lot of people, and in the company where I work now at ChargePoint, there's also the founder of Has to Be, Martin Klessner, who just showed me to think big. Yeah, when I was writing down who can we provide EV solutions to, I was writing down my former employees, employers, like 1,000 people here, 1,000 people there, and he wrote down Google, Apple, Mercedes, and I was like, okay, I have to think next level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now in ChargePoint, of course, a lot of people who inspire me, who work with me, who work for me sometimes, inspire me as well, and who I can be side to side. So there's a lot of people, and there's not one singular person that I could single out.
It's fantastic. I'm enjoying the conversation very much, and I think I'm enjoying it because I see somebody that's creative also. I get that feeling. So my feeling is your position right now as we speak is a very deliberate act. There's a picture on the background with lots of writing. Your guitar is there. The things that are behind you to your left, I get a sense that they all matter and that they're... What is it about you, that creative spirit? How does that come out in your day?
I have a mind that's always running. Yeah, so it's always going places. And so whenever I start somewhere, I find myself 2-3 leagues down into one direction. Mm-hmm. And that goes for everything. And it's also just, yeah, so in my job, I really enjoy the discussions with the customers. Yeah. You go in, they have a problem, they have an issue. Maybe they have no problem and I see the problem. Maybe they have visions that I would like to support. Very often, unfortunately, I'm the one guy who says that will not work because I've been there before. So that's basically what just, and then if you look around me, I mean, this is the award that we gave away. This is a chargy. So we had a customer night a few years ago and we gave away awards. So I said, we need to do something that is like the Razzies. So I made those in my basement. I wrote to the CEO of Menneker saying, don't you have some plugs lying around that you could give for me for some fun? And he wrote back, how many do you need? And then I just, you know, gold sprayed them, put them into a wooden tube, and we handed them out to customers and had such a great response. And it was quite interesting because we're looking at the data, and we're looking at different kilowatt hours here and utilizations there. And then we thought, this is just boring. So we gave it out to the customer who signed on with us the largest deal without ever meeting us. This was after COVID, yeah? So they were the first time I shook hands with those guys, yeah? The customer who had the most open support ticket and complained the least. So we had some really fun categories. Because yeah, there's so diverse customers, and we all brought them together and handed them those. So that's just, my mind's just racing a lot, and sometimes difficult to catch it back.
Yeah, I love it, and I love that there's that sense of creativity going through almost everything that you do. And I'm so glad I asked that question, because you know that I just imagine you kind of coming up with this idea, getting these things, running off to your basement, sorting out something, you know, getting out the gold spray. Yes, that's it. Now, and then it comes to life. And then the whole room is captured by this piece of imagination from you guys. And I guess you're in a world where we need to paint pictures, don't we? We need to give people a vision of the future, of what that future might look like. What is it that drives you to kind of create that vision of the future? Because it's a sustainable thing. What are the engines that, you know, on those down days that get you back up?
I think that's a really philosophical and very, very deep question, by the way. I mean, it's, look, what we do has a larger purpose. What happens at the moment, in our world, is it's the largest project that humanity has seen since, I don't know, in the Industrial Revolution. We're electrifying transportation. We are, and that is just so many things that are happening. And electrifying transportation, meaning we are going to provide mobility, individual mobility for our children and their children. We cannot continue buying oil, putting it into cars and burning it just because we want to get from A to B. And on the other hand, we don't want to go back where mobility is a privilege for a few people who can afford it. That's not going to happen. So we have to find different solutions. And so that's something that just fascinates me, and meeting people who share this vision. And also one thing that's very important is to separate your job in this path So yes, I do discuss about EVs, and I do discuss about the new capacity of the new, I don't know, Porsche or whatever comes from or yeah, or Tesla, and how do they compare and these things. But I'm not a car guy. I'm not really interested in cars. So my job is not to actually provide knowledge about cars. My job, or to, I don't know, to promote EVs, that's not my job. My job is to give those people who want to drive an EV the possibility. And that's where I go with my customers. I say, forget which cars are coming, when they're coming. They are coming. They will be coming, yeah? But think about how do we best provide the infrastructure to those guys who were courageous enough to start driving 10 years ago, yeah, and who are courageous enough to start today, and for whom it's going to be a necessity to drive in 2 years. We have to provide them the infrastructure. And that's my job, and that's something to get up every morning from.
Amazing.
Oh, this raised it. I love this. Now then, we talk a lot, Andreas, about mental health.
Ooh, yeah.
And there are days when, as a human being, I have self-doubt. I'm not sure that I'm delivering in the way I should or as well as I could. Do you ever have moments of self-doubt because you seem a very, very assured, capable human being? Do you ever sit there and scratch your head and think, I'm not sure?
I wouldn't be human if I wouldn't do that every now and then. So, I mean, tons of things I do I'm not sure about. Tons of things that I try, I don't know whether they're going to succeed. But overall, I'm a really blessed person. I'm blessed with a super family. I'm blessed with a place I can live in. I'm really well off, and so I don't have a lot to worry about in my daily life, which I just consider a blessing. It doesn't come from me being such a fantastic guy or whatever. Moments of self-doubt.
But you are.
Thank you very much. That's really nice of you. But anyway, I mean, I do make mistakes, major mistakes, which can humble me again. So I just try to keep an open mind and be self-reflected and just keep going.
But so I suppose what you're saying is that there's a level of support in your life and stability that enables you to be courageous. And if things do not work out as you had hoped, that you're able to learn from those problems, challenges, and develop a new approach which will serve you better. Is that reasonable?
Yes. I'm sorry, my answer won't be any longer. It's just yes.
Yes works for me. So we talked about your guitar. Go on, Paul.
No, I was just going to say we need to learn the art of open questions.
Not always.
Go on, you carry on about the guitar.
There's nothing like a closed question if you want to make sure that you've understood the person correctly. And I'm taking from Andreas, he needs to absorb and understand so that he gets the picture. And I'm making sure I've got his picture because I get this distinct impression that this won't be the last time I see Andreas Blin. I'm fascinated by your guitar is a creative outlet. What else do you do creatively other than problem solving at work? Do you have hobbies that are equally creative?
I do. I write every now and then. I'm an absolutely movie crack, so I love to watch movies. And I'm one of the terrible people who loves to watch movies over and over and over. So I think I've seen The Rocky Horror Picture Show, I think, 150 times or something. Yeah, just counting.
It's words. Just a turn to the left.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And a step to the right.
You can see me in a corset.
Do I have some lips? No, I no, it's been 50 years since it's been out. And I had the privilege of seeing the United States once at a midnight screen. Anyway, so I do that. And then I own, my brother and I, we have a little forest, and there's enough creativity that we have to do there. So it's forestry. And for there, we also, for example, I was looking a long time, I was looking for a super silent vehicle to go through the forest, particularly at night. So at first, I was thinking about getting a Renault Twizy and fitting it with tires that would go on terrain as well. But I've now changed my mind about 3 years ago, and I started searching for an electric quad. And it took me 3 years to find one. And since 1 year, we have one. And fitting that so that it becomes absolutely night possible and every that has been my hobby for the last year. So I can now extinguish all the lights. I only have a red LED in the front. And then you go through the forest in total silence as long as you like and listen. And it's a totally new experience of being in the forest because you move silently. You only have red light, and if it's a full moon, you can turn that off most of the time, and then you just go through the forest, you hear everything. Of course, in the forest, I should, but I don't wear a helmet. So you are absolutely in the open, and that's a wonderful thing. So thinking about something like that, searching high and low for it, discussing with my brother, who's my best friend, what we're actually going to buy, and then actually doing it, if I can, that's what I love to do.
It sounds like you enjoy the environment. Your forest that you speak of is idyllic. The environment and sustainability, have they always been an important part of your life?
Well, the forest, yes, I grew up there. But really, I was always interested in sustainability. So for example, when we were at university and I was studying plastics engineering, we heard about this thing called the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, which, mind you, when we first heard about it was 1994, when they already found out that there's this part of the Pacific that's just, it's mind-bogglingly big. I think it's as big as Wales. And it's just full of plastic residue because of the currents, the plastic just sticks there. And we were at the time discussing how can we clean this up? And there's now the ocean cleanup guy who actually goes there with boats, and he picks up the plastic, the trash. It's amazing. So that's always interested me. And then I was, of course, a lot in recycling when I was in the plastics industry, and I was interested in do the plastic films and the plastic packaging that I do provide more good than bad. And the same when you go to cheese, what is cheese apart from trying to make food possible to be sold longer? Yes, all of that. And now, of course, finding out how really bad the internal combustion engine influences our world, our society, our environment. It's just become a little bit of a little bit of an ambition to play my part in moving on to the next level.
Has life been always kind to you, or is there something in there that really hit you hard and you've had to kind of deal with? And if so, how did you deal with it? Because I think I can probably learn something from that.
It's funny because when I went to boarding school at the age of 10 until I was 18, I was in a boarding school downtown Vienna. And although I know some of my colleagues hated it and really suffered, it never really bothered me for lack of a better word. So I have a disposition that naturally looks at the positive sides. Yeah. Also in military service, I was 1 year in the Austrian military, and that wasn't always fun. But, you know, once you're out of the snow in the shower, you just try to remember the fun bits. So I do have a disposition that looks at the positive side. The darkest period of my life was when I had to give up my job at the cheese machinery factory because my daughter got sick. And so I just couldn't sustain the travel and the distance anymore. So I had to give up my job. My employer at the time was unbelievably fair and understanding and gave me a fantastic possibility to leave. And then I was between jobs for the better part of 2 years until I found e-mobility. And basically, I just found out that, not all times in life are fun. Not all times in life are good, but you have to carry on, make the best of it. And also, when you find out that you have to change stuff, you have to become active. Yeah, you can't dive through everything the way it is. Yeah. And so when I found out this was not sustainable, the way I lived my life at the time, because of that, I just pulled the emergency brake and said, I have to get out with all the consequences. And so that's something I learned, and just face stuff. Don't try to shy away.
That's it's really valuable. Really, really valuable to kind of, because I think that there are many times when I think the worst of us is the worst is brought out of us when we don't face up, as hard as facing it is. Mm-hmm. You know, we because facing stuff is difficult, and it can cause pain. It can cause lots of things, depending on the type of thing that it is. But you know, facing something and then acting accordingly. Credit to you. Credit to you. Well, look, I mean, moving on to a future that is, you know, potentially quite amazing. What does the future vision look like for you? Well, how do you see the next few years panning out? What are the things that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, well, somebody said predictions are always difficult, particularly when they're about the future. We are for 3 years now, we've said this is the year where the scaling actually happens. This is the year the EVs are coming. This is the year where everything, you know, utilization goes up. This is the year. So this has been going, but it's literally happening on so many fronts. So everything we do internally as well, you know, technically as well as internally, is just preparing for scale. And I can't wait for. So we've had the inflection points in some industries and some countries already, but I can't really wait until this, you know, the last excuses and the last idiots who still talk hydrogen. They just are just wrong. Yeah, and everybody finally accepts the fact that this is the way we're going. And when these discussions are over, we will be there, and we will have had a history in that. And this is going to be so exciting. That's the exciting part. The economic part is we are going to face some massive consolidation. So there's going to be a lot of suffering in the industry. Companies that, you know, tried the wrong business model, don't have the money, don't have the strength to pull through. It's not everybody's going to survive.
I think it's very true. Very true. John?
You spoke about doing the right thing, Andreas, right at the start, and that it was important to do the very best you can. When people come to look back at Andreas Blin in maybe 50 years after you have left this earth, what are they going to say about you, do you think?
I don't have the faintest clue. I hope they say I was a decent human being and I was humble as I should be. That's what I hope they say, and I'm living my life to ensure that. Will I be a Nobel laureate? I don't think so. Will I be a spearhead figure, you know, picture on the wall somewhere? I don't think so. I don't think so. Maybe people were going to look back and find me on the internet talking to you about the future of e-mobility. That would be nice.
Well, I imagine that the forest that you own, there'll be a plaque on the way in and a plaque on the way out. So a little sign saying this is the forest that Andreas and his brother, your brother's name?
Michael.
Andreas and Michael built. Enjoy. Because that's what you've done, isn't it? You've taken on this forest and you've cultivated it. You've done whatever you need to do. That's going to stand in testimony of the passion of Andreas.
There's a beautiful picture in your painting. So we got this forest from our father, who was a leading forestry expert in Austria.
Oh, wow.
And so when in 50 years, my children or their children go back and say, well, this is what Andreas and Michael got from Bertie, and that's how they continue to work. And that's why we have this forest here today, in this in this beautiful natural part of the sort of untouched part of the world. That's at least in my family around and around where I come from. That would be a nice legacy.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we have, in addition to that beautiful legacy that we picture we've just painted together, we have a closing tradition on the EV Cafe Takeaway podcast. And you know, as every self-respecting podcast should have a closing tradition. And that closing tradition is to present you, Andres, this is a special privilege, with the EV Cafe magic wand. This is it. You can see it's with full lightning bolt and everything. And so it's coming your way because you get one wish, just one. I'm sorry we can't, so, but here it comes. It's there we go. You've got it. Oh, look at that. Absolutely. That's the best that's ever been done. That is absolute. What the heck?
I did magic in my youth.
That's just brilliant. I love that. Oh dear. So anybody just listening, you have to YouTube what Andreas just did because it was priceless. Really, really priceless. Well done. But anyway, you get one magic wish, a wish with your magic wand. What would you change in an instant? What would you wish for and it would happen? Anything you like. We've had everything from a personal chef to follow me around to world peace. So anything in between, you feel free.
Anything in between. I have to go EV. I have to go e-mobility. Yeah. I would, if I could have one wish, I would like everybody who thinks about their next car or their current car to go about it with an open mind. Just with an open mind. That's my wish. And not, you know, I'm not here to tell everybody you have to sell your diesel tomorrow and buy an EV. And I just want people go there with an open mind and just think about it. I mean, we all know it's possible. I've been driving electric for 5.5 years now. Now, it does work and it's not a pain. It's the same pain as you're having on ICE. But just open mind, not in Germany, you say have diesel Dieter, so we're like Gaia, cylinders and exhaust pipe. Yeah. Just open mind and then get the right facts and then make a decision. And if it's not an EV this time, maybe it's an EV next time. If it's not an EV for you, maybe it's an EV for your wife or your daughter. Maybe if you are, you know, if you're buying 10 trucks because you are a long distance haulier, buy 2 electric. Yeah. So just look at it with an open mind. That's my wish.
What a brilliant wish. If only we could all have an open mind. Although not an open mind to hydrogen, because that's just nonsense. Anyway.
You have an open mind and you look it up and you do the math and you do the calculation. You will find out that hydrogen is not happening.
Exactly.
And we can go another hour easily on that topic.
indeed.
But it was funny because I was talking to somebody very recently and they were saying, and of course there's this hydrogen, you know, that's going to sort it all out. And I'm like, no, I just said, no, it's not. Anyway, let's move on. And that's good. Andreas, it's been an absolute delight and a pleasure and a privilege, really, to spend this 45 minutes or so with you. I'm sure that we will get to spend some more time in the future. I genuinely hope for that. So if you're ever in the UK, please do kind of make sure that we're aware of that and that we can try and sort something out.
I'm coming. I'm coming to your event end of September.
Fantastic.
Yes. I'm planning to be in London before your event in September, so we'll meet there.
Oh, well, the happy days. How didn't I know that? I'm going to have a word.
You had too much IT problems today to know that.
Yeah, I actually have. I'm not going to go there. But that's fantastic. So we look forward to that. But I'm kind of hoping that maybe one day we might find a forest somewhere to go and wander through, maybe at night. You should do tours.
Well, you come to visit, and you can take a tour on the quad through the night. Be my guest. A pleasure to have you if you're ever over here.
I'm very, very tempted. John, come on.
Tell you what, I have spent many, many podcasts, 130, 140 or so, and I can honestly say that my face has never ached so much from smiling as it has in this recording.
Yeah.
I recognize Andreas, a wonderful human being, and I feel that I need more Andreas Blin in my life. I am not balanced. I am not calm. I am not massively educated. I don't really understand very much. And what I do retain is gone in seconds. I need more of you in my life. You are a wonderful man, a wonderful inspiration, and a man that I hope I stay in touch with till the day I'm no longer on this planet. You're a great guy.
Thank you so much. A pleasure to be all mine. Thank you so much.
Well, guys, that's it. That's all we've got time for. It has been a pleasure. Connect with Andreas if you haven't already on LinkedIn or something like that. Follow on to ChargePoint because they are doing some great stuff. Perhaps stuff that you've never seen before, but makes life easy for you.
V2G now. V2G. It's all happening.
Oh, well, that's another hour and a something.
I know.
That's the next chat. V2G, next chat. But we need to let you go. It's been great. Check out all the other podcasts on the EV Cafe. Apparently, they're probably not going to be quite as good as this one. But anyway, have a listen. There is absolutely some amazing podcasts across that. Some real insight across our industry. And we'll build on the knowledge of today. Have a great day, everybody. Until next time, we'll see you soon.